Welcome to Optimize Your Retirement, presented by Higher Ground Financial Group. This is the radio show and podcast dedicated to helping you navigate common financial challenges on the path to a successful retirement. Tax attorney Daniel Rasby and his father Raz have a passion for guiding people towards financial freedom by helping individuals understand and reduce the three biggest retirement killers: risk, fees, and taxes. Now, let's begin. Here are your hosts, Daniel and Raz.
Welcome back to our show. This is Daniel Rasby. I'm a tax attorney, and I'm here with my dad.
So it's Daniel and Raz. John Rasby.
With Higher Ground Financial Group, we're here to help people understand taxes, risk, and fees on their assets so they can keep more of them to themselves, right?
Yes. So go to our website, riskfeestaxes.com. Again, that's riskfeestaxes.com, and you can schedule a free video call with our firm and get a chance to hear from tax attorneys as well as retirement advisors and how to minimize all those things, risk, fees, and taxes. And we've gotten a lot of questions recently with the new administration coming in. You know, what can and might change, you know, because there's a lot of tax laws that have been proposed. And whether you like Trump or you hate Trump, there's no doubt that we are expecting some changes in Washington in the next few weeks and months. So we'll talk about all those laws as they get passed. Right now, there are some favorable things you can already take advantage of that we know to be true today. Hopefully, it's some of those things, the favorable things stay. Some of the things that are not so favorable, hopefully they get better for a lot of our clients. But one of the things is many of our clients have had or maybe will have some kind of business entity where they get some of their income from. And there are some things that are unique that you can use now, some interesting strategies you can take advantage of now, and there are some things that are potentially changing. So in the original tax cuts, there was a corporate, C corporation tax of 35% flat tax, and then it went down to 21% under the last Trump tax cuts. Even though the income tax rates are set to expire in 2026, the corporate tax rates are not. The 21% rate is permanent. So that means if you have a C corporation, then you don't have to worry about the tax cuts expiring and Congress not passing a law. You're still going to be at the 21%. Now, Trump has proposed to reduce it further, even to 15%, which would be even more favorable for C corporation owners.
And what gets me, what really, really gets me is people saying, well, this is a tax cut just for the rich, for the corporations. They're making out big time. But who pays the corporate taxes? Because if a corporation has taxes, all they do is they raise the prices. So it's really us that buy the things of the corporation. The corporation doesn't pocket the tax difference.
And even when they do, it's their shareholders, and the shareholders have money, and then they are supposed to spend the money somewhere or invest it. And if they invest it, they put it in the market, and that drives up the price of the stocks.
So it's not some rich, greedy corporate owners that are getting all these tax benefits and they're just getting wealthier and wealthier. Yeah, they're getting wealthier because they're taking the risk, the capital investments, and they're doing the work and all that stuff. But these tax cuts really affect all of us because it makes the cost of goods cheaper if the taxes are lower.
But what can you do if you have a business and you're thinking about, well, you know, a lot of CPAs have said, you know, you should never have a C corp. You should always have an LLC. If you have a corporation, have a
double tax.
Have an S corp so you're not double taxed. Well, that's sort of true and it's sort of not true. You know, one of the things that's useful about an S corp right now, and this one is scheduled to expire, is the 20% flat deduction off the top for anything in a pass-through business for most types of service businesses. And that's something that will expire unless they extend that. So if you have $100,000 income, you're only getting taxed on $80,000. You know, even after your other deductions, you get a 20% deduction right off the top. So that is useful, and that's useful for S-Corp or LLC business owners. But if and when that expires, the C-Corp tax rates are still there. Now, if you are making just enough money to cover your household expenses in your business, and you're basically taking all the money out of your business and spending it, of course, paying all the fair share of tax that you're supposed to be paying along the way, then a C-Corp doesn't necessarily provide a lot of extra benefit.
Right.
And it's not double tax because you could pay yourself a W-2 salary out of the C-Corp and you just are taxed that one time. The C-Corp is not taxed again because they deduct the salary. Where the C-Corp can really help you is if you are making more money than you want to spend.
So if you are making maybe $400,000 or $500,000 of profit in that corporation, but your expenses for your lifestyle are only maybe $200,000, well, that extra $300,000, instead of paying, you know, 24% or 28% or 32% tax on that money, you could instead leave it in the corporation and just pay a flat tax of 21%, or maybe under the new Trump rules, potentially even 15%. That is much more advantageous than paying the high income tax rates. Now, the CPA is going to tell you, well, that's double tax because someday you're going to take that money out and be taxed on it again. Yes and no. I mean, you could choose to take it out in a year where you don't have other income and your long-term dividend rates are lower or non-existent. So it's possible that the total tax you paid, even if you pay a little more tax later, is still less than what you would have paid today. And the other thing you can do is you can invest things inside your business and continue to grow the business. As long as it's for a business purpose, you don't have to pull that money out to your personal balance sheet. And when you pass away, you can leave the value of that company to your kids completely tax-free because they get a stepped-up basis.
Absolutely.
So using a C-Corp properly, it's possible not to have that double tax affect you. And it could, in fact, be the cheapest way to run your business for tax purposes. There's also some other fringe benefits and other ancillary things you can take advantage of if you have a C corporation that you cannot do with an S corp or other type of company.
And normally the CPA is going to tell you what to pay. They're going to say, this is what happens. They don't do a lot of tax planning in the future. Some do. Some CPAs are great CPAs. They really do some planning, but most are not. And so it's better to get a hold of a tax attorney and really do a strategy for going forward. And that's where you want to make an appointment with us, riskfeestaxes.com. Go to the website, riskfeestaxes.com, and make an appointment and ask those questions. Now, I have a question, Daniel. You're a tax attorney. I have a question. So what's better? Is it an LLC, is S Corp or C Corp? If I want to make a capital expenditure, so let's say I want to lease or buy a plane and lease it back to a company and make money there, but instead of paying the $1 million for a plane now, only finance it. I have to write the entire thing off, right?
Yeah, if you set it up properly, you can write the entire thing off, even if you didn't pay the whole value for it. You got a loan for it because the IRS is considering you actually have bought this thing, even if you got a loan. And so that potentially could all be deductible. And that's going to be true regardless of what kind of business entity you have, as long as you really are using it for business. Now, where people get into trouble is they're using it for their personal expenses and they're just saying it's for the business. So when you get audited, then you can get into trouble. Same thing with meals and travel and all sorts of things that are deductible technically. Just going to make sure they really are for business and not for personal. If it's something you would have also done for your personal use, if you weren't doing it for the business, then the IRS is going to say that doesn't count. It's not very deductible.
I seem to remember we had a client a few years back and he was 1099. He was making $500,000 in 1099 income and he wanted to buy a boat and he's going to lease it back to a charter company and make income off of it. And so it was like $350,000 and he had put aside that money, he was going to buy it. And you advised him, instead of paying $350,000 in cash for it, to finance it and then lease it back. Why was that better?
Well, because he is paying an interest now for the loan, but now his $350,000 is not tied up. But he still gets the deduction for buying the boat because it is in that case, it was only for business. He wasn't using it for personal use. It was only for business. He was going to lease it out to renters for a charter. And that allowed him to maintain his cash. And that's really important. You know, the way that wealthy people use money, they usually use levers. They have loans that can be useful for maximizing the amount of profits they can make while minimizing the amount of taxes they pay. Just look at when Elon Musk purchased Twitter a few years ago. And yes, I still call it Twitter, not X. It's still weird to call it X. But Elon Musk purchased Twitter, and I don't remember the exact price they ended up with, but it was something like $40
billion. $4 billion, yeah.
But he didn't pay cash for that. Even though Elon is supposedly one of the richest, or maybe the richest, depending on the day, man on earth, he didn't pay cash for that. Why? Well, most of his assets are in stocks, and the stocks are not only doing very well, they're growing in value, but if he liquidates those, he has to pay taxes. He's got to pay capital gains. And so he said, he went to Goldman Sachs and said, look, can you give me a loan for whatever, $30 billion or $35 billion of this purchase price of Twitter? And they said, sure, you put your stock as collateral. So if you don't pay the interest on the loan, we'll just take your stock. And he said, that sounds like a great deal. I can keep my stock earning that money. I do have a small interest cost I have to pay to the bank, but I hope that the profits of my new company, the Twitter, will pay that interest at least. So now I don't have to pay anything out of pocket, but instead let my stocks continue to grow. Whereas if he were to sell enough stocks to buy that, first of all, that might crash the stock price of Tesla if he sold that much stock at once.
And he had capital gains tax.
And he had to pay capital gains tax, which could have cost him, you know, $5 or $10 billion or more, maybe $15 billion of just of taxes. In this way, it only costs him maybe $1 or $2 billion in interest. And a lot of that he might make back with the profits of his new company. So that is how the wealthy people use leverage, use loans, if it's done in the right way, to maximize the income that they have without tying up too much capital and without paying taxes. So it depends on the situation. And, you know, a lot of people listening to the show, you may have been told or you may have learned even through experience that it's not a good idea to be in debt. Well, I'm not suggesting you should be in debt, but there's a difference between using proper leverage and proper loans for business purposes and being in debt. Because if it's collateralized, if there is some kind of asset that you can always sell and pay off that loan, then it's not really the same thing as being in debt, where it's unsecured and you have a chance of being overleveraged.
Right.
You know, back in the early 2000s, you could buy a house that was worth $500,000 and they would give you a $600,000 loan for it. So because they thought it would go up in value, and we know how that turned out. So you shouldn't borrow more than what the asset value actually is. But it's reasonable to use leverage even in higher interest rate environments. It still can make sense in order to not pay as much in taxes.
But don't over leverage yourself. Make sure you have enough income to support that. And also one of the things about this transaction we talked about with the buying boat, he was also able to depreciate that boat. And so the income he got from renting it back to the leasing company, he was getting a lot of that tax-free because of depreciating the boat.
Well, you can do either one. You could depreciate over time, or you can do a deduction at the beginning. So you can't do both. And that's another thing you want to make sure you talk to a tax attorney so that you have the proper...
So right there, I would have got in trouble. I would have depreciated and take the deduction, then I would have gone to jail, right?
And that's why working with a tax attorney can really put you in the right spot, because when we meet with you, we can show you what the laws are and
what makes better sense for you.
Take advantage of the loopholes that do exist that are perfectly legal, but don't go over the line so that you get in trouble with the IRS. So we'll always steer you in the way that makes legal sense and still minimizes the amount of tax that you can pay. You have no obligation, and it's a famous Supreme Court decision that talks about this. There is no obligation that a taxpayer has to intentionally pay more than he has to pay. You can and should pay as little as possible, as long as that is still legal to do. And we help our clients with that. So if you're a business owner or you're thinking about starting a business and you have some capital and you want to figure out how to minimize the amount of taxes you'll pay both now and in the future, talk to us. We'll give you some unique strategies to minimize those taxes. Again, go to riskfeestaxes.com. That website is riskfeestaxes.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Optimize Your Retirement. To take the next step and receive personalized guidance tailored to your specific financial situation, schedule your free call with Daniel and Raz from Higher Ground Financial Group. Visit riskfeestaxes.com. That's riskfeestaxes.com. Or call 888-263-HGFG. That's 888-263-4434. We look forward to hearing from you.
Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. Higher Ground Financial Group does not provide securities investment advice. No part of this program should be construed as advice to buy, hold, or sell any security. Any mention of securities is incidental and for educational purposes only. Legal and tax advice provided through Higher Ground Legal Incorporated, pursuant to signed retainer agreement, if applicable.